Good morning. Welcome to worship. See you all skated in. Be careful driving home. So, since it's February, we usually try to do kind of a love theme for Valentine's Day, and so we've picked out some of our favorite love songs from God. We're going to be starting out with Change My Heart, O God. And it is in your hymnal in 801, but you might want to follow along on the screen because the order is a little bit different. So.
Love songs for Valentine's Day. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Nice to have you here. Some of you know that I just got back from Florida from vacation. It was nice down there. The skies were blue from the moment I got off the plane to the time I got back on. The sun shined. You know what? Those guys got it made down there. So I'm trying not to be envious today, okay? Anyway, it was a good time of rest and relaxation. I've got a younger sister, 9 years younger. I grew up in a different time than her, so it was good for me to touch base and get to know her again, and my brother-in-law, and she turned out to be a really nice person. Welcome to worship today. I'm glad you're here. A couple of announcements. First, if you haven't signed the attendance registry, would you please do that while I give some announcements? All the announcements that are on your on the back of the bulletins, please read for yourself, but there's two things happening this week I want to inform you about. One is our friend John Koziel and Pat Balder are musicians that play over 4th of July. They play background music for big music groups like Journey and Toto and whatnot when they come into the cities. Anyway, they're going to be up in Aiken they're having a Valentine's dinner and dance. The Friends of the Arts in Aiken County are putting on this dinner. And it's Friday night, the 13th, I think 6 o'clock, and you're out of there by 9 o'clock. That's good for... good for all you old guys.
Not old. Not old. Not old. Older guys.
older guys. Yeah, and we're not talking poltergeist. Yeah. Anyway, for dinner and dance, and it supports the arts for Aiken County, you hear some great music, and talk about love songs. They're going to play the best. So they're up there Friday night. On Saturday night, up at Tornstrom Auditorium at the Brainerd Community College, Concordia Choir is up there. And the choir sings some wonderful, wonderful music, too. They just are finishing up a tour across the United States. And so if you'd like to hear the Concordia Choir, that's a wonderful opportunity, too. That's Saturday evening. Both of those announcements are on the bulletin board in as you go in for coffee fellowship. I think that's all we need to announce today. It's nice to have you here. You can see that the troops are thinning. This week we'll lose a few more others. Well, Marilyn, here you are. We haven't seen you for a few months. Yeah, you're looking good. Marilyn broke her hip or her knee. Yeah, that happens when you get to be our age. Anyway, nice to have you back. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you are a wonderful God, and you have watched out for us and cared for us and loved us. Even when times when we have turned our back on you, you have cared for us. And we thank you for your love and presence in our lives. Today we pray your spirit might move again to remind us that you are the way to find meaning and purpose and joy and peace. You are the way to find hope and love. You are the way to bring people together, that we might enjoy one another's company, that we might share the gifts and talents we have, that we might care for those in this world who have little. And so stir that spirit in our hearts, that we might be drawn together as your children. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first hymn, they will know we are Christians by our love. In John 13:35, it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So as Christians, we need to share that love of Christ with the world.
Rise and let us turn together to the order of confession and forgiveness in our bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, who spoke light into creation, who calls us to listen and follow, who sends us to shine like stars. Let us come before God confessing our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. Holy and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against our sisters and brothers and against you. We cherish the values of this world. We cause others to stumble. The earth is wounded by our excess. Have mercy, O God. Forgive us, renew us, and raise us up on eagle's wings, that we may do your will with courage and delight. Amen. Hear the voice from heaven. You are my own, my beloved. God gives power to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Be cleansed, be healed. For in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of your sins and the revealing of God's reign. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Sheila and Jim are going to be doing a duet called Amazing Love, You Are My King. In 1 John 3, 1a, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." So Jesus is our King, and he died for all of us, and there can't be any more amazing love than that.
Thank you.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. The Judeans in exile have a good reason to be hopeful. The one who will bring them to freedom is the God who created the world, the God who subdues the rulers of the earth and gives strength to those who are weary. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, where he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The psalm is 147. You will respond in the bold print, and with when there's a bold R, please respond with, "The Lord heals the brokenhearted." Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise.
The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord counts the number of stars and calls them all by their names. The Lord heals the brokenhearted.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom.
The Lord lifts up the lowly, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds and prepares rain for the earth, making grass grow upon the mountains. The Lord heals the brokenhearted.
God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry.
God is not impressed by the mighty.
But finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love. Hallelujah.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is found in the first chapter of St. Mark. Everywhere Jesus goes, many people expect him to set them free from oppression. Everywhere he goes, he heals them and sets them free. Disease, devils, and death are running for their lives. The forces that diminish human life are rendered powerless by Jesus. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. She began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also,
for that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're celebrating all of our music and our lessons, talking about the love of God. Also this month in America, we celebrate the birthdays of two of our greatest presidents, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Now, normally I would ask, is it February 12th that's Washington's and February 22nd that's Lincoln's, or vice versa? Vice versa. You know who would answer that is Steuben's granddaughter here, because she's read the book. Anyway, one of the things I love about Abraham Lincoln is his sense of humor. Abe Lincoln laughed at himself and especially at his appearance. So they say he was a very plain-looking man. Anyway, I particularly like one story that Lincoln told about himself. He said, "You know, sometimes I feel like the ugly man who met an old woman traveling through the forest. And the old woman said, 'You're the ugliest man I've ever seen.' The ugly man says, 'Well, I can't help it.' And the woman admitted, 'I guess not. But the least you could do would be to stay home.'" Yeah, takes a great deal of character to laugh at yourself like that. We thank God for men like Washington and Lincoln. They made a significant impact on history. Nevertheless, their impact is dwarfed by this simple carpenter who was born 2,000 years earlier and who lived in the little town of Nazareth. Huh? I mean, human beings have always praised and honored certain people in their own generations, but Jesus, they've considered him as an object of devotion through the last 2,000 years. People recite poems about Lincoln and Washington, but they sing hymns about Jesus for the last 2,000 years. They construct monuments in memory of their statesmen, but in churches around the world, communion tables are set up in memory of Jesus. Before kings and queens, men bow and women curtsy, but before Jesus, people kneel in prayer. Our lesson for today from Mark's gospel illustrates why Jesus captured the devotion of so many people. I mean, it was the Sabbath day. Jesus and his disciples had been in the synagogue where Jesus healed a man of an unclean spirit. And as soon as they leave the synagogue, he went with James and John to the house of Simon Peter and Andrew's brother. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately tell Jesus about that. And so he goes into her and takes her by the hand and helps her up. And Mark tells us the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Well, so much for the role of women in that time. She began to wait on them. No rest for the weary. I mean, if you're sick, healed, get up and get to work, you know. So she was able to fulfill her expectations in the household. But the point of the story is that Jesus healed her, just as he heals many others. Now, it didn't take long for word to get around about Jesus' wondrous acts of casting out demons and healing the sick. And so Mark says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Can someone tell me why he waited till sunset? Because it was the Sabbath day, and on the Sabbath day, good Jewish people don't walk. They don't go out the house. They don't work. But after sunset, they came as soon as they could. They wanted to be near Jesus. And in the Gospel of Mark, there are 10 consecutive stories that tell about Jesus healing people of various diseases and conditions. It's a significant part of the Gospel message. That is that where Jesus is, there's healing. Where Jesus is, there's healing. And sometimes that healing is physical. In our Bible studies on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we've used a scholar named William Barclay. And I looked up what Barclay said about this. He says that Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from what the Talmud called a burning fever. It was and still is, says Barclay, very prevalent in that part of the Galilee, that this disease that Peter's mother-in-law had. And Barclay says the Talmud actually lays down the methods of dealing with this malady. This is what he wrote. He says, "A knife made wholly of iron was tied by a braid of hair to a thorn bush, and then for 4 days one would recite one verse a day from Exodus 3, verses 2 through 5. And on the fourth day the bush was to be cut down, and a certain magical formula was pronounced, and thus the cure was supposed to be achieved." That's the way they did medicine in Jesus' day. That's the way this Peter's mother-in-law was cured of disease. But it's noteworthy that Jesus came along and just disregarded all the paraphernalia of that popular magic of the time. And with a gesture and with a word of authority and power, he healed this woman. He healed this woman. Where Jesus is, there's healing. And sometimes that healing is physical. So we hear this story today in the 21st century. Some of you maybe have been healed by the hand of God. I wish I could say that all of us who've ever prayed for healing were healed physically. But you know, and I know, that I'd be wrong. I've had people say, "Why didn't God heal me of this disease? Why didn't he take care of my daughter or my son or my grandchild?" Some will say, "I prayed daily for my healing, and it never happened. Isn't God there?" And we wonder. And I wonder, and I don't really have any answers, except that's why the church is very cautious when we talk about prayer and when we talk about healing. It's a complex subject that none of us can truly understand, but I do know, Jesus does heal. He does heal. And I don't have any doubt about that. I trust him when we're hurting just as much as you trust him when you're healthy. No one is ever sorry for praying and trusting. Maybe that's the best thing that comes with this healing business that we need. Even if physical healing never comes, when we pray and when we trust, we draw close to God. And we know, in some cases, Jesus heals. Sometimes that healing is physical. Sometimes the healing is emotional. There are people who carry around hurts that last a lifetime. Their friends and family say, "Get over it. It's been 20 years already." You know, they know with their brains that they should let it go. If only they could. It would be better for them if they could, but somehow those hurts don't heal, and we carry that stuff around and we carry it around. I've only one suggestion, if that's your case. That is, turn it over to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Pray daily for his healing power, huh? I ran across something a while back that some of you might find helpful who are seeking healing for your emotions. It's written by a Stanford psychological anthropologist. Five syllables is kind of tough for a Finlander. Anyway, her name is Tanya Marie Lerman. She's got her PhD. She wrote a book called When God Talks Back. In this book, she studied Christians who claim to have a two-way conversation with God. She discovered that these people who have these conversations with God have three prayer techniques in common. I thought this was pretty interesting. First of all, they use their imagination. When praying the 23rd Psalm, for instance, they not only saw the Lord as an actual shepherd, but they also felt themselves lying down in green pastures, being led beside the still waters. They used their imaginations to make the scriptures come alive and become real to them. The second technique they used was emotion. They immersed themselves in Psalm 23. They, for example, while walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they thought of people in their lives who had passed away and how much they meant to them, and even relived their loss again But they got in touch with these people who had passed on before. There was an emotional connection. They let themselves re-experience the sorrow of death that made this scripture personal. And the third thing, the final technique, was connection. They imagined that God was their good shepherd, walking alongside of them, maybe his arm around them, walking through the valley, having an actual conversation. That's when they said God spoke to them as they lived through their meditations. I'm thinking of doing some of this during our midweek Lenten services, Wednesday night. Joyce, you were in a class years ago when I led us through some of that. I think maybe we'll try some of that again. Yeah, we went down to the beach and walked, just like I did in Florida, except there weren't any people in my dream. Yeah, but it works, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you might want to try that in your prayer time, imagination and emotion and connection. Of course, hurts are not always from the past. Sometimes we need help getting through current situations. Sometimes when I get to the end of my rope, when I'm worn out, when I've done my best and emotionally I've drained and I can't do anything else, at the end of the day I will imagine myself putting myself into the arms of God, and I have a picture of a great big hunk of a guy with big arms and I'm a little baby, and I say, hold me, Lord, as I've done what I can, and I rest in him. And it helps. And I find hope, and I find peace, and I find sleep and rest. And I wake up refreshed. My prayer life. When you're going through difficult times, everyone's on their own journeys. Find a way to draw close to the Lord, because with Jesus, there's healing. A testimony of Scripture tells us that Jesus heals. He healed Mary Magdalene of 7 demons. We don't know what those demons were. 7 hurts from the past, maybe. Times when she was abused, maybe. It's not an easy subject, but healing can come when we bring our hurts to Jesus, when we put ourselves in the presence of Jesus, whether they're physical hurts or emotional hurts. And at times the healing brings that Jesus brings is relational. Relationships are so delicate. Whether they're relationships at the office or at school or our primary relationships at home with our spouses or with our parents or with our kids or grandkids. I won't ask how many of you right now are thinking about your marriages, praying for your spouses. One night at dinner, a wife commented to her husband that she said, you know, when we were first married, you always took the small piece of steak and I got the big piece of steak. Now you take the larger one and leave the smaller one for me. You don't love me anymore. Nonsense, darling, the husband said. You just cook better now. Yeah, it's easy to joke about marital problems, but they're the source of so much heartache in many adults, and a crushing blow to many children in our world today. There was a study years ago by Psychology Today. It's a study of marriages. Most studies are done on why marriages come apart, but this study was on why marriages last. Some of the conclusions were surprising. This research showed that for both husbands and wives, the most important factor for marital success was to say, my husband or my wife is my best friend. There's got to be give and take in a marriage. You all who have been married know that. Very few marriages that have been made that are perfectly equal. One woman who had been married 44 years said in this article that you've got to be willing to give 70% and expect 30%. In the long run, the study showed that giving and taking can be out of balance in a marriage relationship. If either partner enters a marriage determined that all transactions must be equal, the marriage is going to suffer. As one husband put it, sometimes I give far more than I receive, and sometimes I receive far more than I give. But my wife does the same. If we weren't willing to give more or be on the receiving end more, we would have broken up long ago. That's marriage. Marriage fads come and go, but there's one constant that was true 50 years ago, and it's still true today. The family that prays together stays together. I think we can say that. Whereas the statistics for marriages that come apart are as dismal overall for church people as they are for non-church people. It's not true for couples who are committed in a serious way to their faith, however. So, if you want your marriage to last, invite Jesus into it. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Give God an open invitation to take up residence in your household. Invite him in. It'll make a difference. Bottom line, when Jesus is present, healing will take place. There's healing. Simon Peter's mother discovered that. For the past 2,000 years, millions of other people have discovered it as well. When Jesus is present, healing is there. Whether it's physical healing or emotional healing or relationship healing, trust Jesus. Trust the Christ. Healing doesn't always come as we would choose. And you know that and I know that. But a life of constant prayer will reassure us that we're not in this alone. We have a traveling partner. We have a God and a Spirit and his Son who is always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering and invite our praise team to lead us in Dance With Me. Please rise and let us turn to the prayers of intercession.
Oh, let's join in the offertory prayer. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Called to know, love, and follow you, O God, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Everlasting God, deepen your church's commitment to proclaiming the gospel, that many will hear, respond, and share in its blessings. Lord, in your mercy. Creator of earth's foundations, restore lands, forests, and oceans recovering from natural disasters. Protect and preserve all animals and humans who live in these places. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, rule over the nations and guide their paths toward the fulfillment of your purpose, nurturing the common good, protecting the weak, providing justice, and caring for the needy. Lord, in your mercy. Strength of the powerless, lift up the weary and wounded. Give endurance to those whose struggle is unrelenting. Heal the sick and relieve the pain of those who suffer. We especially remember in our prayers Wally and Teresa and Darwin and Betty and Dean and Ron and Ernest and all those others in our lives who need your healing touch. You are the great physician, the great healer. Heal these folks, for we pray it. Lord, in your mercy. Searching God, expand the welcome and witness of this congregation's outreach ministries. We pray for all those served by these ministries and for all visiting with us today. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings, for your presence in our lives, for the promise of your presence even as we go through difficult times. Grant us your strength and hope. Grant us your joy and peace in our hearts. Allow us to walk with you and remind us over and over again that you are the way to wholeness and to life. We'd ask that you'd be with those who travel this week. Keep them safe and in your love. We pray for those members of our church who are down south. Keep them safe and in your love. And watch over our loved ones, our children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, family and friends. Keep them in your love as well. Unsearchable God, you are always more than we can understand or imagine. Guide us to follow in faith where the saints have led until we join them at your throne. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your love and healing, O God, we commend to you all for whom we pray, knowing you will hear and answer through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Done earth as it is in heaven.
Please bow your heads and receive the benediction. God the Father, light creator, God the Son, light from light, and God the Holy Spirit, light revealer, bless you and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
There's two songs that we be doing together at the end. The first one is Love the Lord. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And then for our last song, Jesus is the Rock, Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge.
Thank you.